My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back to the Euro Clutch. I'm Ian Hamilton, and we've got a big Forbidden Door weekend coming up in a fortnight. Preview of that coming up next weekend. But after the last episode, I wanted to look back at something a little bit different. Going back, well, depending on when this drops on your feeds, 9 years ago this week, a show where your call really did have 1,000 fans packed into it for a moment in British wrestling history. But first, we've got to go back to a little bit more than 9 years ago. May 27, 2016, Corken Hall in Tokyo, best of the Super Junior 23, night 6. Not first place you'd think of, but bear with me. Will Ospreay against Ricochet, a match that broke a lot of brains, mostly by way of GIFs. Sorry, GIFs if you want to be pedantic about pronunciation. Long before New Japan and TV Asahi went crazy for Ban Hammer on Twitter, this was a match which, both people back in the day remember, got a lot of attention. A match with exchanges between Ospreay and Ricochet that were maybe a little too gymnastic, but very much attention-grabbing, and, like I say, back in the ye olde days of Twitter where people were sharing GIFs and all that with abandon, it pretty much took over the discourse for the day. Now, a lot of those did come through to the mainstream, I think, stuff like SportsCenter picked it up, and of course you had the old school of wrestlers, as they want to do, bemoaning about how kids these days don't know how to work. And look, a lot of people at the time, I would have been one of them, took issue with it. One of the main issues of a match was the selling. I know, right? Ospreay and Ricochet selling. But it was one of the things which people wanted to peel behind, the flashy backflips and what have you. What's the point in doing those if, in the moment, especially in the GIFs, you're not really seeing the side effects of those. Of course, you had your Jim Cornettes of the world, really taking fire of it over it. One such aggrandizer who maybe didn't expect back then was Vader. Of course, back then, he was pretty much on the very much downswing of his career, long after the WCW heyday and, whatever that WWF run was. He took to his Twitter account, and this time it wasn't accidentally tweeting out his genitals, but as things are wont to do on social media, this very quickly took hold. Of course, in 2025, a lot of tweets get deleted for, reasons we don't need to get into. But this very quickly went from being a retweet of a GIF to some back and forth between Ospreay and Vader. Some begrudging respect from Vader's side. And within a matter of a few weeks, it went from needling each other to pretty much becoming promos for a match at a point. June 17, 2016, a tweet marked from Hillingdon, which, being from around there, that's probably Heathrow Airport, knowing the timelines, but tweet from Will Ospreay on the 17th of June. Just throwing it out there, I would absolutely love to face Vader at its Vader time. People think I hate him, but I don't. I genuinely want this match. And people, the fans piling on. And yeah, you just got a lot of Vader, talks cheap. I've called you out for accepting Boulder, Colorado, the place. There won't be much ballet going on. You see, I don't like you. I'm going to hurt you fairly. Shoot style, anything goes. Ospreay, you're really an angry person, ain't you? Vader, right now, extremely. Ospreay, what should I do again? So it goes back and forth from there. But of course, in the background of that, there were talks going on. You know, the A Squared Wrestling podcast, Andy Quilden and Andy Boy Simmons, covered this a few years later on after Vader's passing. You know, it all came out from Watch, but at the time it was, you know, just yet another Twitter beef that maybe was, you know, looking to get a bit too out of hand. All the back and forth, you know, Ospreay going back and forth to Japan, you know, ships passing the night kind of thing. Eventually, all this came to a head, and the morning of June 26, 2016, not even 9 days after the Vader and I Want This Match tweet, RevPro posted an announcement for something called Uprising. It was going to be August 12th, 2026, with two faces on the poster, Vader, Will Ospreay. Needless to say, tickets for that show absolutely flew out the window. I mean, 2025 prices, you know, £22 for floor seat. You ain't getting into many big shows of that money, let alone, you know, a floor seat or anything like that. That meant, you know, you had easily 1,000 people in your column, or a JIT 1,000, not the 700, you know, bumped up to 1,000 for the sake of a nice round number. But the atmosphere inside the famous Bethnal Green venue that night was white hot, of course, middle of summer. The weather was more than helping it there. But this was a card which could have been a one-match show, and they had quite a few undercard to boot, and not from a personal point. This was around the time I was starting to get back into wrestling. I think my first live show was a few months earlier at the Garage in Islington, back for those old Progress Endeavour shows. I'm not going to go too off track by reading the card from March 2016, but you know, a couple of names still pushing on as I'm recording this in 2025. B. Priestley, TK Cooper, Chuck Mambo, David Francisco, among the less of a curse names in that lineup there. But going back to your call, August 2016, we had a pretty stacked undercard. And yeah, you know, we are dealing, you know, 5 years on from speaking out, a lot of names here. Not really aging well, but you know, we'll flip through them without making too much comment. Jay White against Josh Borden, the opener. Charles Simmons against Big Damo. Ryan Smile and PJ Black against the British Youngbloods. That was Jake McCluskey and The Bruce. Yeah, there's a tandem that you know, seemed to have vanished out of thin air, or into thin air even. Chris Hero against Marty Scurll. Ricochet against Pete Dunne. And then the semi-main event was Zack Sabre Jr. defending the RevPro British Heavyweight title against Jeff Cobb. And very unpopular finish. You know, Sabre got booed out of the building, left with Andy Quilden coming in to effectively save things, and you know, announced Jeff Cobb was announced or was being booked for the following year's WrestleMania shows. Got the crowd largely on side before the main event, and yeah, this, you know, if you want to call, you know, like the old dream back in the day MMA, the freak show fights, in a sense, this was kind of a pro wrestling equivalent of it. On one hand, you had Vader, who just marked his 30-year anniversary in wrestling, at least going by cage match, and you know, speaking after the fact, you know, this was, if cage match is accurate, one of his final 10 wrestling matches before he passed away. On the flip side, Will Ospreay, not even 5 years into his wrestling career, again, going by cage match. So, no, Ospreay, again, you were looking at, what was it? This match was basically 2 months after he'd won Best of Super Junior. Not about the same since he came up short to Kushida, cashing in that junior heavyweight title shot at Dominion. Ironically, a couple of days before the last round of the Twitter Wars, before the match was announced. So yeah, you had two very different poles, at least in terms of experience, and not least in terms of the look and the size. Of course, Vader, much bigger than Ospreay. And you know, back in your call, you know, Vader's double ref music hit, and that was the cue for the 1,000 inside your call to roundly boo Vader. Not so much universally, mind. There were a few, even at the time, were not big fans of Will Ospreay. You had a few who were very much maybe pro-Vader in terms of a contrarian point of view, but others who, you know, liked Vader because of, you know, who he was when they were growing up, and also in terms of the storyline, maybe if you really did believe Ospreay was being a disrespectful little prick in that sense. On the flip side, of course, Ospreay, you know, he was very much the returning hero, you know, even though he hadn't won the junior heavyweight title, if not the first Brit to win the Best of Super Junior. And yeah, this was, like I say, it was a cauldron. Like, I remember, you know, quite vividly being on the floor at your call. This was pretty much standing room only from bell to bell. And yeah, you had seats, but people were up on their feet from the start to the finish. You know, you had Vader, you know, getting booed from, like I say, the majority of the crowd. The V's for crowd were pointing towards Vader weren't quite the ones he was used to dishing out, the old, you know, Vader hand glove signal from back in the day. On the flip side, Ospreay, no, he wasn't all that much of a showman. He just, you know, started the ring. Vader took off his mask beforehand, which, if you listen back to the Andy Quilden A Squared Wrestling podcast interviews, that was something which I think was a request that he'd made for Vader. But, you know, I want you as Vader in the mask with the, you know, the old Vader leotard. It was Vader and leotard, albeit with a very tatty, holy black T-shirt covering it. But, you know, you get what you get. You know, we did get the mask, even if it wasn't for the match. Vader, you know, did a promo, and again, from that podcast, one that Andy maybe not have been too enamoured with beforehand, but, you know, it did the job on the day, so all's well that ends well, I guess. But, yeah, hey, if we can't patch in live Mike's and Bird Wrestling in 2025, there's no way in hell you're getting this on the stream in 2016, but you could hear, you know, best part of it. Before the bell, Ospreay flipped off Vader, who, you know, just took him down to the corner before the bell, and, yeah, this, you know, threatened to not really get going. You had a ref bump early on, the crowd cheered, things spelled outside. Shadow, if you spotted it, you know, contender era, Dan McGee and Rob Elias in the crowd or at ringside, trying to separate Ospreay and Vader to no avail. You know, they did put some space between, but Ospreay, you know, hit the ramp and did a big flip dive off the ramp towards Vader in the ring, which, if you've seen Ref Pro Your Call, you can kind of picture that better than I can describe it. It was more of like a running cannonball, from what I recall, but things then went sour. Vader got hold of Ospreay, dragged him up the ramp towards the stage. One choke slam off the stage through the commentary table, and it was just absolute bedlam. You know, crowd absolutely electric. You know, shit, Vader's ruined this big match where we wanted, you know. Vader hates him that much. He's willing to, you know, kill him by throwing him through a table. Of course, you know, pro wrestling, we know what it was. You had medics there, you know, checking on Ospreay. I guess the Rev Pro production of the time is basically with two Andys on a Zoom mic recording. You know, Andy Quilden, you know, abandoning commentary to check while Andy Boy Simmons, you know, kept hold of that Zoom mic and, you know, kept doing some commentary while things were going on. But yeah, Ospreay, of course, wasn't going to be down and out. He got up, he crawled off the commentary table back towards the ring, and we had our match. And yeah, this was it was a lot of smoke and mirrors, and it was always going to be. You know, Will Ospreay, 5 years in, you know, not quite as seasoned as he would become. Vader, unfortunately, a few years away from, you know, the last match of his career, really. Very much on the downswing, and, you know, mobility-wise, not what you expect. But again, you know, Vader in 2016, you knew exactly what to expect, and you weren't getting prime era WCW, you know, Big Van Vader here. But, you know, they made the most of it, you know, in the ring. Ospreay got squashed by Vader with an avalanche in the corner. He got thrown around. Second chokeslam escaped, and Ospreay managed to hit that handspring enziguri, took Vader down to a knee. But from there, it was pretty much all Ospreay bouncing around Vader. You know, clotheslines, you know. And again, you have to remember, you know, this isn't, you know, Vader doing, I'm not, that doesn't work for me, brother, kind of thing. On paper, you know, it had, you know, a much smaller Ospreay. This is the way, you know, any fight would pretty much go. And that's what this was being sold as to the crowd was. It was not a catch-as-catch-can wrestling match. It was a fight. So, you know, while, you know, people were maybe not quite so enamored with, oh, well, this isn't going to be a classic contest. Yeah, but it wasn't meant to be. And to Rev Pro's credit, we did have stuff, you know, kind of dovetailing out of it. Ospreay did try and, you know, get back into it. We ended up with another ref bump with a running drop kick, basically having Vader squash referee Chris Roberts. And then we get, I guess, in 2025, unfamiliar music, if you've not been a fan then. Pete Dunne came out to not the music you would more associate him with. Back in Ref Pro, he had a much different song to, you know, he had Progress, and ultimately Walk Up morphed into his WWE track. But yeah, Pete Dunne comes out, attacks Ospreay with the Drop Dead, what's now called the Bitter End. You know, can't say Drop Dead, you know, it's not PG. But then we had, I guess, the start of the meme there with Pete Dunne shaking hands with what people called at this time his wrestling dad, Vader. Of course, this was all meant to, you know, spin off to a, you know, Ospreay and Ricochet against Pete Dunne and Vader match down the line. Didn't happen, of course. but you know, they kind of fit in the RevPro storylines at the time. You know, you had Peter and Will Ospreay feuding over Ospreay's Cruiserweight title, and you wanted a little nugget of context. You know, a few weeks later, we had those two meeting in what would be Ospreay's one and only successful title defense. Ospreay's commitments to New Japan meant that you know, his appearances in RevPro very few and far between. It wasn't until the following April that he would lose that belt to Josh Bodom. Like I say, you know, this would be you know, Will Ospreay pretty much not being available and you know, kind of what we saw as the template for a lot of guys who you know, started making a New Japan. They'd have tours in Japan. Certainly the big York Hall shows wouldn't fit around their availability. So you had you know, belts on guys who largely weren't around, such as Life. So, of course, Pete Dunne out to attack Ospreay. The save was being made by Ricochet, who had beaten Pete Dunne earlier tonight. There's a, you know, again, a bit of dovetailing there for you. But, of course, Vader had a bit of beef with Ricochet as well because of that match. Ended up with Vader being double-teamed. Shooting star presses from Ricochet, then Ospreay nearly won it. Pete Dunne pulls out the referee. Ospreay wiped out Dunne on the floor with a Sasuke special. Only back in the ring. Two chokes, Samson Vader gets the win and... Yeah, look, this was never going to be, you know, the five-star classic, and I think at the time I went below zero, like, as in terms of a match, not much to write home about. As a spectacle, though, this was, I guess, one of the, you know, the shining moments of the you know, proverbial Britres boom. You know, you'll go back to, you know, Progress had the big moment at Wembley Arena, they had the Alexander Palace Super Strong style shows. But in terms of a moment where, Britres was able to take something, no, not to say this was no chicken salad out of chicken shit kind of stuff, but they had a big Twitter beef that went back and forth that easily could have just been lost to time. Oh, well, I'm only going to have this match in America. Well, it ended up being very quickly sorted out. But yeah, this seemed to be a match that, best way I could describe it, is not a RevPro match. No, it's not one of those, overly long RevPro classics, insert the air quotes as you wish to see, but pretty much only a match at this level that RevPro could have done. Like, Progress were not going to do this. Maybe PCW up in Preston, but again, in terms of, you know, the size of the stage and the venues, it probably wouldn't have, you know, gotten the eyeballs of wrestling fans outside of London or, you know, the quote-unquote big two at the time. You know, certainly Ospreay Vader in 2016... No, would have gotten some interest, but how many people would have gone out their way to have tracked it down if it wasn't, in with all due respect to PCW at the time, an established promotion? We did have some post-match stuff. Of course, Ospreay, you know, baby-facing himself after losing, you know, claiming Pete Dunne failed RevPro fans, and that was pretty much that. So, flipping over to cage match, Vader, of course, passing away in June of 2018. Did have a few matches after this. A couple of days later, he you know, stayed in the UK, match beating Sid Scala for the XWA. A couple of weeks later, he had a show in Brockton, Massachusetts for Top Rope Promotions. Bob Evans, Gangrel, and Vader against Frankie Vane, Jimmy Malonis, and Congo. There's some luminaries for you there. A Big Time Wrestling 2017. A weekend swing in Japan tradition. Koken Hall, April 20th, Riki Choshu, Shiro Koshinaka, and Tatsumi Fujinami against Akira, Kaijimuto, and Vader, which, yeah, that's, yeah, but I hope that made tape somewhere. Two more nights for tradition. This was the Fujinami debut 45th anniversary tour, so, yeah, Vader bringing Ball back for one last weekend. And then just over a year before he passed, WrestleJam 5 in Ringgold, Georgia against the Iron Man, someone who made it so big that his cage match name doesn't have a clicky link, so can't tell anything about him. But yeah, on cage match, this was the ninth to last Vader match. And yeah, pretty much, let's say Vader passed June 2018. And pretty much a week or two later, that A-Squared Wrestling Podcast, of course, no longer around, but Andy Quilden and Andy Boy Simmons pretty much did like an in memoriam reminiscent podcast on the whole Vader Ospreay stuff. And you know, a couple of nuggets that came out of this, which, in hindsight, speak volumes and, I guess really insightful. Of course, as you'd expect, Vader's initial response was just to the gifs of Vader Ospreay stuff, the Ricochet Ospreay stuff from New Japan. Vader hadn't seen the whole match and, I would have been stunned, frankly, if he had been watching or having his New Japan World subscription, getting up at the crack of dawn in Colorado, sitting, you know, watching that. There's no way he would have seen more than just those GIFs at the time. At first, Andy Quilton had no intention of doing that match. Again, like I said, a very un-Rev Pro match to book. But again, after, you know, Will Ospreay, you know, effectively tweeted out that he wanted the match, it ended up becoming something that Quilden made it a mission to do, but, you know, by his own admission. He emailed Vader, it took a week for him to get a response, no surprise there. And yeah, it became something that very quickly came together once, you know, Vader did get a response. At first, you know, Vader wanted a package deal, you know, guaranteed rematches, and you know, Vader, ever the worker, you know, wanted to turn this from being, you know, I hate Will Ospreay, but at the end, I want to be his best friend and be his tag partner. Of course, that never came out. It ended up being one and done. I think Vader was booked for some Comic-Con stuff as well, with Steve Linsky arranging roles. Some meet and greets and that XWA match with Sid Scala that, you know, ended up being tacked onto it, as we spoke about earlier. Over time, as you'd be surprised, well, maybe not so much knowing how internet fans are, there was a fair bit of backlash once this match was announced. This isn't Ref Pro. How dare you book this? I'm not booking. I'm not buying a ticket to this. Thing was, you know, you're always going to get backlash, like, especially around Ref Pro. You know, they always seem to be, you know, something of a lightning rod of this kind of stuff. But, you know, Andy stuck to his guns with this one. And, you know, the idea of getting a lot more of the quote-unquote casual fans buying a ticket to this, you know, they had to see the undercard, you know, you weren't coming in just for the main event, and this was the, you know, proverbial show where you came for the main event, and that undercard sold you on the promotion as a whole. Something I think Andy claimed, you know, in this podcast, 70% of ticket buyers for this, so, you know, 700, were first-time Rev Pro fans. You know, whether that's accurate or not, you know, it's a hell of a stat to trot out if that is the case. Something I didn't remember, but apparently this was the case, they were going to do like a, I guess we call it now, press conference, a face-to-face event with Ospreay and Vader, you know, try and drum the pipe for the event. Got called off due to low sales. Now, I don't even remember that being a thing back then. Now, granted, I wasn't as terminally online as I am now, but, you know, you would have thought it would have been at least some, you know, mention or whisper of this, but yeah, apparently it was a thing, just I have no memory of it. Getting towards showtime, there's a little bit of, you know, bumps in the road. Vader, not quite sure whether he needed a passport, pulling a full AR Fox there, and being sourced out. And something else we did sadly miss out on was the classic WCW era steam mask. Now, I don't quite know how that would have gotten through customs and, you know, how that would have looked in your call, but yeah, one little detail of it, you know, had even been possible, you know, would have been nice to have had, but sadly, no, we got what we got, pretty much. As for the match itself, no, Vader was, you know, angling to get a rematch, which is why, you know, Pete Dunne was put in. So at the very least, you know, you could do the Vader and Pete Dunne tag team, or as it ended up being, you know, Vader and Ospreay, which had already been booked. So you had, you know, an out either way if, you know, Vader, you know, couldn't or, you know, didn't want to do the rematch, or, you know, things couldn't fall together there. Another thing that nearly derailed the match, on top of the passport stuff, Vader arriving in the country in, you know, pretty bad shape by all accounts. I mean, he could walk, but, you know, pretty much transported around to the airport in a wheelchair. There's, you know, talk on my podcast, Andy saying that, you know, Vader wanted to see a doctor, whether it's for legitimate reasons or, you know, what did we say back in the day, you know, some candy for the boys. They end up, you know, sketching out the match, and yeah, the only reason why we didn't get the Vader and Pete Dunne team or partnership was because this was around the time when WWE were knocking on the door. You know, which is a shame because, you know, another nugget that came out here was, you know, talk of Pete Dunne having a Vader mask and doing matches with it. I mean, yeah, it would have been absolutely goofy and ridiculous, but, you know, the Vader Ospreay, you know, dad and lad, you know, tag team with the matching gear, and, you know, Pete Dunne did get the Vader-ish gear made. No, probably would have, you know, gotten a pop out of someone. No, wouldn't have been anything long term, but as a, you know, quirky thing for the year, you know, would have been good to do. But alas, that isn't where it went. There was one line from, again, to wrap up from the Andy's podcast, which, you know, I think speaks volumes in 2025. For the first time in forever, people cared who won or lost. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, gets booked today when you're running a load of shows where, you know, I've results, you know, a foregone conclusion, whether people just really don't care about what they're seeing. This isn't a dig at RevPro, this is across a lot of wrestling. And, you know, certainly someone who getting back into the scene in 2016, while this match was, let's be frank, utter dog eggs, was the kind of match which, you know, really, you know, captured the attention. You know, it was more than just, you know, a couple of hundred people in a dingy venue every now and then. It was a scene that was growing, and while this isn't going to be make, you know, never did make anyone's match of the year results, it was the kind of match which had people going back to, look, this is a scene that is more than just getting people in as a fly-in for, you know, a weekend and then that's it. You know, this was the match people wanted to see, for better or for worse. It was a moment that, you know, could easily not have been capitalized on. RevPro did it, and yeah, it may not have been a match that went the way people would have wanted to see. It may not have been a whole story arc that, you know, could have gone the way people wanted, but as something that you know, Vader and Will Ospreay did, you know, basically merging off of a, you know, a backhanded comment, you know, from the gifs of the Ospreay Ricochet match in New Japan, it was making a lot out of something which very easily could have been swept under the carpet. And, you know, I guess that's what wrestling is, isn't it? Not so much the stuff you plan for, but making the most of anything that falls in your lap. Anyway, I'm off to try and rest my voice next weekend. Well, weekend after this, we do have AEW Forbidden Door weekend. Not going to be previewing Macho because there's other podcasts that will do that better than I can. But we do have an absolute library list of wrestling shows going on in and around London. So hopefully early next week, before those all go on, I'll be joined, hopefully, by Neil David to run down both of the RevPro anniversary shows. Night One now being rebadged Global Wars UK. The Saturday, second night of the anniversary, that's being topped by Ricky Knight Jr. against Shaw Samuels. And we've got shows from Likes of Progress, we've got Pro Wrestling Ceasefire, and Riot Cabaret and Eve, and a few others. So we'll run down all the cards for those, why you should care, where you can watch them as well. But that's it. Thanks so much for listening. If you, don't follow me on the social media platforms of choice, have a look for Ian Wrestling. You'll find me there. But again, thanks for listening. Hope you've subscribed, whether it's on YouTube or iTunes or whatever podcast app you use. And we'll be back in about a week's time with the Forbidden Door Weekend Preview. Cheers.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.